Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see.
Produced
some
at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon. This is Prison Pipeline. I'm Doug McVeigh. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal legal system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. We seek to promote awareness and activism in order to foster a safe, healthy, and just society. In 1995, four teenagers in Chicago, LaShawn Azell, Charles Johnson, LaRod Stiles, and Treshawn McCoy, were arrested for murder. They were brutally interrogated for hours by Chicago police officers, who finally were able to coerce them into signing false confessions. No physical or forensic evidence ever tied these kids to the crimes they were charged with committing, yet they got railroaded, convicted, and given lengthy prison sentences. More than 20 years later, in 2017, fingerprint evidence proved their innocence, and these men, who'd become known as the Marquette Park Four, were finally exonerated. In 2024, the Chicago City Council approved a $50 million settlement for the four. At the time, that was the largest police misconduct settlement in Chicago's history, and that city has a long history of police misconduct. A great honor, one of these four men, Treshawn McCoy, now joins me via Zoom. Treshawn, welcome.
How you doing?
It is a beautiful day, and I'm so glad it's an honor to have you on. It's an honor for me to have you on the show. The state of Illinois stole 22 years of your life. Tell me what happened.
Well, one day I was at school and I was told I had to go to the principal's office. So I get down to the principal's office and there was a youth officer who told me that some detectives wanted to come talk to me about, you know, some people that getting shot the previous night. So around maybe a half hour later, the detective showed up. And, you know, the first thing that they told me was, don't run. We know what you did. Don't try to run. We know that you killed those people last night. I'm clueless. Like, what do you mean? So we go down to the police station unlawfully. They never called my mom. I was never able to contact an attorney or anything of the sort. So we get down to the police station and they start off right again. You know, we know you did it. Someone told us you did it. So I'm just sitting there, you know, puzzled, like, what the hell is he talking about? So that detective, he goes out of the room. Another one comes in and he's, you know, telling me like, well, I hate to see a young man like you spend the rest of his life in prison, you know, so tell us what happened and you can go home. And like I say, I'm just sitting there, you know, just totally clueless. So I tell a guy, I'm like, no, I was over my girlfriend's house, you know, I ate dinner, you know, with her family. You know, you can call and check and, you know, verify where I was. It was like he just wasn't, you know, trying to hit at. So he would leave out and, you know, the other cop would come back in, they're, you know, playing the whole, you know, good cop, bad cop deal with me. And this went back and forth for about maybe 8 hours. And it just got to a point where I broke and I made up a confession, you know, implicating the other three gentlemen. And they charged me with murder, double murder and armed robbery. Yeah. So at that point, we sat in our county jail, you know, fighting the case for 3 years, and we ultimately got convicted. I was given 55 years. Mr. Johnson, he received natural life. Mr. Stiles received natural life. And Mr. Ezell received 20 years. As you said, after 17 years, I mean, after another year, 17 years, 18 years, they found fingerprint evidence, which eventually wound up, freeing us. But unbeknownst to a lot of people, this is fingerprint evidence that they had in 1997, 20 years prior. But they fraudulently concealed that evidence and just sent us to prison because we were like the fall guys, because the city of Chicago will have to admit to the world that they messed up, when they charged us with this crime, and they didn't want to do that, so they allowed us to go to prison. So it was just, a miscarriage of justice. And the funny part about all of this is they actually know who committed these crimes, and they never charged them. They said that if we were to bring charges against the men that actually did it, that, the evidence they had against them would be the same evidence that they used against us, and that evidence would be flimsy, and that they couldn't secure a conviction, so they didn't, pursue the prosecution of these fellas who actually did it. So it's a crazy situation, but at this point, all I could do is just move forward with my life and try to put that behind me and just be productive with, the years that I have left. That's all I can really do at this point.
So now all four of you were finally exonerated. I, city, I mean, did they have they finally coughed up? Did they have they finally paid out, or did they
Yeah,
is
they paid us September last year, 2024. Yeah.
did they ever apologize? I mean, I realize those are just words, but I mean, they stole 22 years. Did anybody did or if admitting they were wrong, oh, can't admit they were wrong.
No, they never did. I mean, the city of Chicago is just as a whole is they're very arrogant, so to speak. So they don't no humility, no admission of guilt, nothing.
Meanwhile, the real culprits who have remain free, they may know who they are.
Yeah, they know who they are, and they choose not to pursue prosecution.
You're listening to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. My guest is Droshon McCoy. Mr. McCoy, these days you're running several successful businesses. You're writing a book. You're filming a documentary. You and your wife recently launched the Droshon and Dana McCoy Foundation. It's a nonprofit
Yes.
dedicated to serving other individuals and families impacted by wrongful convictions. You are making such a good life now. I want to ask you about the book and the documentary, but I first tell me about the foundation first. Tell me about the Droshon and Dana McCoy Foundation.
Well, the Droshon and Dana McCoy Foundation is a foundation that my wife and I set up to basically help the reentry into society of individuals who've done extended prison sentences, such as myself, because there were no programs in place for, well, I'll say very few programs in place for people who've done extended amounts of time in prison, and you need help, job training, just learning how to use a phone, learning how to use a computer, because these people are coming home just to a world that didn't exist, when they left. So we're trying to facilitate, as smooth a reentry back into society as possible. Also, we are helping the children of these individuals who are coming home, not only just the people that are coming home, but also people that are currently incarcerated that were that had kids left behind, to help with no school supplies, you know, toys and things of that sort on Christmas, just trying to do as much work as we can to like right, you know, the ills of, you know, incarcerated individuals, just trying to make an impact.
So, let's,
That's okay.
I got involved in drug policy reform and criminal legal system reform a long time ago, because I just have this thing about right and wrong. It's just, you know, I believe I'm old fashioned, right? I believe in that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's not just a failure. I mean, it's not just a failure that, you know, this is, you know, got to find somebody. Well, they'll do. I mean, ruining someone's life and letting people get away.
I was in that place from the age of 17 to almost 39. I'm 46 now.
This is my conversation with Treshawn McCoy. He was one of the so-called Marquette Park Four, who back in the 1990s were framed by Chicago police for crimes they did not commit, for which Mr. McCoy and the others each spent more than 20 years in prison before finally being exonerated and released. We'll hear more in a moment. You're listening to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Before we return to my conversation with Treshawn McCoy, a few numbers. WTTW News, a public broadcasting station in Chicago, performed an analysis in February 2025 of the cost of police misconduct settlements and verdicts for the city of Chicago from 2019 through 2024. In 2019 alone, the city of Chicago paid out $50.7 million. That's $50.7 million. In 2020, $49.6 million. In 2021, $93.4 million. In 2022, $97.2 million. In 2023, $74 million. And in 2024, $107.5 million. I'll say that last one again. In 2024, police misconduct settlements and verdicts cost the city of Chicago $107.5 million. 42% of all of those settlements were due to wrongful convictions. And I know that sounds like a lot, yet compared to the damages the Chicago police have inflicted over the years, the countless lives they've ruined, the families they've destroyed, it's a pittance. People getting framed, falsely accused, wrongly convicted, sentenced to horrifically long terms in prison for crimes they never committed. I mean, how do you pay that back? And meanwhile, the real culprits are allowed to walk around free, probably committing more crimes with impunity from their apparent official immunity. And these are just the cases we know about. It's difficult to estimate the scale of the abuse, but there was research published in the journal PLOS-1 back in May of 2022 that looked at data on Chicago police officers between 1971 and 2018 in order to identify groups of corrupt officers working together, like in a crew. They identified 160 of those crews, 160, consisting of 1,156 officers. That's approximately 3.43% of all Chicago police officers in their data set. 3.43% of all officers, and yet these crew members were listed on 15.2% of all the arrests in their data set. That study, by the way, found more than 100 exonerations related to just one of those crews. That study, which by the way is entitled Identifying Misconduct Committing Officer Crews in the Chicago Police Department, which was published May 4th, 2022 in the journal PLOS-1, it's open access so you can get a complete copy, free for the download, there's no paywall. That study found that officers in those crews were listed in 14.7% of all complaints and 23.8% of all use of force complaints. Not surprising, then, that officers in those crews were listed as parties on 27.3% of all city awards and settlements in civil cases between 1993 and 2016. So now, with all of that as context, let's get back to my conversation with Treshawn McCoy, one of the so-called Marquette Park Four, who were framed by Chicago police for crimes they did not commit, for which Mr. McCoy and the others spent more than 20 years in prison. Each spent more than 20 years in prison before finally being exonerated and released. I gotta ask, what's it been like? I mean, when you went in, people were still getting AOL CDs, or not even CDs, AOL discs in the mail. There was this thing called the World Wide Web that was just starting out, and you know, for the most part, we had, and now you're out, and we're worried about artificial intelligence, and there are these massive data centers, and everybody's all concerned about technology. I guess the constant war in the Middle East hasn't really changed. That's pretty much been the same since then. Police are still racist. The system is still unjust, and we live in a country that's bigoted, sexist, racist, and a whole lot of other. Okay, I guess it really, in a lot of senses, the world hasn't changed all that much since you.
Aside from technology, no. To speak a little bit more about my documentary, we've just done a rough cut of the documentary, and it's coming along quite well. It is my hope with the documentary to shed some light on the epidemic of wrongful convictions, and you know, to show the world what Chicago really does to young black males in a specific time period. In the late 70s, 80s, and 90s, you had so many people, such as myself, who were locked up, wrongfully convicted, and spent decades of their lives in prison. So I need for the focus to be on Chicago and, show the world that what they're doing is not right. Because I've lost a significant portion of my life, to the system that I can't get back. And I always tell people that, there's two things that you cannot bind. That's time and love. And, for the compensation that I receive, I can't buy the latter part of my teens, my 20s, and pretty much all of my 30s back. So it's traumatic, to say the least, but I digress. I have to move forward.
But tell me about your documentary now. Is it going to focus on your case? Is it going to more broadly be about Chicago and tell me more about that.
It summarizes all of those things. We touch on a lot. My case, the history of Chicago, doing these things. We have a lot of interviews with some quite notable people who, speak to this, this epidemic that we have with wrongful convictions. And we are trying to shed light on the fact that, like I said, Chicago is the wrongful conviction capital of the world. The city of Chicago has paid out more than $1 billion in wrongful conviction settlements. Not million, billion. And it seems as if every 2 to 3 months, there are guys just popping up out of nowhere that were wrongfully convicted. And it was out of maybe 2 to 3 police stations in Chicago under this cop named John Burge. And the tactics that he used to elicit these confessions from folks were, tactics that they use in the military. on prisoners of war to, you know, extract information. You using these on civilians. You know, where they would, you know, shock your genitals, you know, tie phone books to you, and beat you with billy clubs, play Russian roulette with you. Just a lot of tactics that they use to, you know, obtain these confessions. It's just a horrible thing. So, like, we were kids, so they couldn't beat us or necessarily, you know, use physical means to extract these confessions, but you play psychological games with kids. You know, the whole good cop, bad cop thing, you do that to a kid because we were 15, 16, 17, and 19. You do that to somebody for 8, 9, 10 hours, at some point they're going to break, and we did. So it's just, it's horrible.
And you say you were kids so they couldn't do anything physical, but how are you supposed to know they're going to, how are you supposed to know they're not just going to snap themselves? 8 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours into it, one of them just decides, oh, to heck with it. And you know, suddenly, and all of a sudden, there's a fist, there's a club. And, it, you know, because, I mean, how are you supposed to know that they're going to be able to keep control? That's the
thing, like, you don't know, which all plays into the psychological aspect of it. You don't know what's going to happen. Like, I'm in a room that's at least, I don't know, maybe 60, 65 degrees, and I'm sweating bullets like it's 100 degrees outside. Like, I'm sweating profusely.
Okay. So now your book, you're also doing a book. Is that related to the documentary? Is that a biographical thing? What's the book?
Yeah, it's autobiographical. It's pretty much chronicling my life. I wouldn't say it's the documentary in written form. It's just a little more detail about my upbringing, you know, my life. Before prison, how I was raised, my neighborhood, the type of trials and tribulations I faced, you know, my family, things of that sort. And, you know, pretty much not all of the things, the topics that I covered in the documentary, but just overall my life before, during, and post-prison. So we're kind of like tying them both together because we had planned on having the book was scheduled to come out this month, but the way it's looking, like, both will be, you know, debuted to the world around the same time, which actually works out great.
That would make sense. The two, the one they would, they. Synergy, I think that yeah, synergy. That's the word. The one, yes. The one helps to advance the other, and
yeah, most definitely.
Do you have any other projects? You're an entrepreneur. Are you working on other stuff?
Yeah. So I currently I have a Harold's Chicken restaurant. It's in River Oaks Mall in Chicago. I plan to open up another Harold's Chicken in Ford City Mall. It's also in Chicago. And I'm planning on, as a matter of fact, I'm going on a business trip to Alabama. I'll be visiting Atlanta, Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Clarksdale, Mississippi this upcoming week. We are trying to place these same fried chicken restaurants in HBCU, historically black colleges, you know, in the Southeast. So that's currently what I have on the table. Also, I'm looking to do development. We're trying to secure 2 acres of land to build a charter school and a grocery store. So I got a lot on my plate right now. Oh, and also, I'll be getting an honorary doctorate this July.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Wow. Again, folks, we're speaking with Treshawn McCoy. He was wrongfully convicted for crimes he did not commit, finally exonerated in 2017, and finally free. And doing great works, from the sound of it. This is so cool. What haven't I asked yet that I should have? There's probably any number of things I should have asked by now, but
I think we pretty much got the most important stuff out of the way.
All right.
Whatever you didn't ask, it'll you'll be able to get it in my book and my doc. So
I will pre-order when it is ready.
All right.
How can people follow the work you're doing? Is there a website? Are you on social media?
Yes. My Instagram and my Facebook is just, you know, my name. Just, you can just look up Treshawn McCoy or Treshawn M on Instagram, and you'll be able to find me and all the work that I'm doing.
Excellent. I will be giving you a follow.
All right.
So do you have any closing thoughts for our listeners?
Yes, for anybody who's currently incarcerated and also wrongfully convicted, I know it seems like the situation you're in is impossible to get out of, but keep hope and justice will prevail.
That was my conversation with Treshawn McCoy, one of the so-called Marquette Park Four, who were framed by Chicago police for crimes they did not commit, for which Mr. McCoy and the others each spent more than 20 years in prison before finally being exonerated and released. And for now, that's it. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Prison Pipeline is a volunteer production for community radio and syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's Audio Port service. Please support your local community radio station. Become a member. Become a volunteer. Find this and other installments of Prison Pipeline on the web at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. You'll also find a link there to subscribe to the Prison Pipeline podcast. Prison Pipeline has a Facebook page. It's at facebook.com/prisonpipeline. Please give its page a like. Share it with friends. Join us again next week for another edition of Prison Pipeline. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long.
Just a soul.
So long.
Intentions.